Welcome, everyone, to Teal Town USA After Dark. That's the way this one ends, kids, here on April 18th, 2017. The Sharks, unfortunately, were only able to score seven tonight against the Oilers. I think we're all kind of disappointed in that. But you know what? We're professionals here, so we'll move on. And actually, we're not professionals because no one's paying us to do this, but we act like we do. So, what a hell of a game, huh? Here we
We want
go.
10.
We
We
won 10. So with
want
that said, do us a favor, everyone. Subscribe here. That's right. We're your only live interactive Sharks post-game show, and it comes at you after every game. And hey, we even throw in some Barracuda stuff there for you. But you can find out everything tealtownusa.com. And don't forget to follow us on all the social media channels we have available to you. But it's that time. Be a part of the show, kids. Use that Twitter hashtag Teal Town USA, or hey, join us in the Google chat. Watch us live, but you can follow us on the Twitter machine and you see all the names right there. And you thought this was a good one, guys. Don't forget Thursday night game five viewing party with, let me see. I know I'm going to be there. I know Chris is going to be there. I think Rocket might be there. I think Eric might be there. Who knows? But come join us at the IBU tap room on Thursday. And with that, we go live to the one and only Rocket and Puck Guy live at
Hello.
the tank.
Hello.
How's it going, guys? I gotta say, this is a
Oh, they're gonna start making
wow.
out. Hold on.
Oh,
jeez. All right,
Oh.
here, hold on. There. You were right. I'm sorry. Rocket does not know everything. Okay.
Okay.
There.
So
There.
how was it, guy? Eric, we'll start with you. I heard you got a little lucky wearing a jersey tonight.
We'll talk about that off air, but let's just say thank you, Maria, and we'll leave it at that. So much appreciative to Maria, our good dear friend. But Rocket, I must say, I can't believe we still have voices. That is probably one of the best home playoff games in Sharks history, I would think. And I would say it got things started off early and just kept going the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. It was high intensity. Those two goals early really, really helped build the solid base for the Sharks to build off of. And then just kept going. Even when Tierney got down, it felt like the energy lagged for just maybe a half frame in the building, but it popped right back up. The
Perhaps for a
fans were
perhaps
into it
for a
tonight.
was it
for a
perhaps for a
scotch.
for a scotch?
A scotch.
Just a scotch?
Just a scotch. Just a scotch.
Yeah, and unreal. You can still hear it from outside in the bar and the line for the Sharks store, right? My goodness, how crazy this crowd is right now. Still, and we've ended the game what, 10 minutes ago.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, and but Habs, two goals. Cooch, two
Two
goals.
goals.
I mean,
They didn't even have to finish the game with Jumbo out there because, they were already so far ahead.
he was just paying for it. You had to bench him, and that's how it all starts on controversy and such.
Andrew Berkshire on Twitter says that Edmonton should be credited with two losses tonight because that's what it felt like.
Well, somebody on Twitter
Hey.
had a really good line. They said, fitting that the Sharks scored a touchdown since Jerry Rice opened the door.
Yeah.
Hello.
Or
And
like, I think I. Go ahead,
it's
Lane.
not controversy, it's contravesty, if you're
Controversy.
Canadian.
Okay.
Contravesty. Oh, that's a new one. But I also saw one tweet out that I showed Rocket during the game, and what was it? It's about time a San Francisco area team scored a touchdown.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, and I made the national broadcast, apparently.
Yeah,
Hey
apparently
now.
Rocket did with
My
her phone
phone,
taking.
like this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the rally. Well, never mind. We'll save
No, I didn't have to get him out because we didn't have to
that
rally. Like, that's
for
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say 15 seconds in you into this game, you probably put him away then, right?
Basically, yeah. Like, I had a scarf on, and I was like, okay, if the dire straits, I'm getting him out. But it never came to that, so the rally boobs stayed hidden.
Burrito remained in the back pocket.
I wanted that
Oh.
burrito so bad. I got up and started screaming at the burrito and the iguana chasing it. Like, I
Oh
was
my God.
screaming. The whole section wanted it for me.
Yes. It's like, burrito, and then I can take out Paul Martin.
Exactly. Me, Paul, Burritozilla. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a delicious time.
Yep.
Without Arendelle. Well,
so how did the place react when Dreisaitl got kicked up for douchebaggery on Tierney?
It was pretty loud with boos. When they showed the replay of it, you could tell it was really bad.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll be reviewed. I would think spearing is supposed to be a reviewable offense. So,
no, it's from what everybody said on just on the intermission reports and just kind of across the board, it's probably going to be a suspension. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a game. And I think everybody was saying because Dreisaitl looked Tierney in the eye as he was spearing it.
Oh
wow.
See, that was in the corner, and we didn't notice it because the play was going up.
Yeah.
And then we turned around, and Rocket actually, hit me and said, Tierney's down. And I was like, oh, shoot. And then we saw the replay. It's like, oh, damn, that was messed up.
Yeah,
so
he literally looked him in the eyes while he was spearing him, and it was just like...
All I can say is I know that's a really sensitive area, and I'm very sorry that he got tapped there because I've seen what it can do. But I'm really grateful that it wasn't like a knee injury or a shoulder injury or something. Sure. Like, really, you know, I'm glad that he was only gone for a couple of shifts.
Exactly. He'll put a burrito on it later. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got a bruise around his cup for sure.
Yeah.
Or the outline of a cup.
He might be a little higher pitched if he tries to sing Holidays here again.
Yeah, his post-game interview is going to sound like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, oh boy.
Tierney.
I think me and the boys had a good game tonight. You know, we played hard.
The Cobra is hissing at a higher pitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Chester Cheetor saying that spearing was pretty close to the taint. I mean, paint.
Oh, and Tyler mentioning that he saw Puck Guy's back on TV tonight. So there you go.
Hey!
I'm glad it was closed because you wouldn't want to see it if it wasn't.
Yes,
well,
it
no,
be
but
the, nice.
But the thing that bums me out, though, is I'm quite sure that the reason why he saw your back is that it said Puck Guy 14 and not Teal Town, USA.
Trust me, when we were so shockingly moved to these seats, the thought did come up about maybe we should not.
Now, dance with who brung you.
Yeah, well, but it was a good time. It was a very good time, a great win.
No, I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay. It was a good time. It was a great win. I got to experience Rocket live during a hockey game.
It's something else, isn't it?
Holy cow. I'm actually impressed with the chirps that she's got.
Dude, and I've done many of game with her, and she surprises me every time.
Thank you.
No, but seriously, she's awesome, and I'm glad we were able to do a game. Because AJ, you told me how crazy she is during the game, and I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Oh, she's a fucking nut. That's awesome.
I'm surprised I still have a voice, guys, because
seriously,
I was screaming.
She was screaming like literally from when they came out of the shark head and everything. It was unreal.
Yeah.
Well, and your voice has been doing double duty, so.
That's true.
Just quick commentary from the chat. Somebody had a question. How many minutes did Patrick Moron, Maroon, have? He had 2 minutes only, which is quite interesting because of his douchebaggery. But hey, just two
minutes. And he also served a few more penalties. The weird thing was is that he skated off into the locker room when he got his penalty, and there was still a power play. So was he injured at the end of the second or something? Because he had that penalty, and then what was it, Hurdle had a penalty like a minute later, and so I was kind of surprised to him skating off into the locker room when there was still a power play.
To be fair, his douchebag may have been full and it might need to have been changed.
Very good. True. Understandably.
Yep.
Absolutely. But yeah, this place was rocking. Great show all around. I think
I was going to say, how was the opening? Because there was a lot of talk on Twitter tonight about how great tonight's opening was going to be.
The intro was great. Although you said when you compared it to Sunday night, it was just a scooch off.
The the ice, the picture, like the little LED, whatever it is, the graphic that they project down onto the ice is supposed to be synced up with the music. And the shark character on the ice, like, it goes along with the really heavy bass lines in this song. And it was off maybe by about 5-6 seconds.
Guy was marching to his own beat, huh?
Well, yeah, and plus, like, and then there were some graphics that came up that said fight back that are supposed to go with the music, and it didn't line up. Like, and it lined up on Tuesday. So, but I mean, it was just minor. It was still so good.
God, you think all of that would have lined up seeing how they were, I don't know, holding the Oilers off the ice until 11:30 to make sure they had everything dialed in.
Right?
You know what, guys? I think it was the Mohawks.
Oh my God, there's a guy in a turtleneck and it's not Kevin Lacey.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say. Seriously.
You better let that guy know that Lacey has, that's trademarked, and Lacey needs to get a payment.
We gotta go rough him up for some lunch money.
Yep.
And his lady's wearing a turtleneck too, but she's got a black turtleneck on.
Okay. Oh my Lord, it's catching. It's contagious. Lacey, see what you've started.
There's a lot of turtlenecks.
At least it's not a Ray Ratto special.
Hey now.
You're lucky I'm wearing pants. Just win the game.
What did you guys think about the line blender tonight? Because it was plugged in very early.
Yeah, it looked really nice. They said on Sunday night, I thought maybe they would front load the top line and did wonders. But yeah, I thought these lines looked really, really good.
Patty looked like he gave a damn.
Oh, hey. Hey, it was nice to see Sorensen get his first ever Stanley Cup playoff goal. That was nice.
I agree.
And he could have had two tonight. He was very close on his first.
I like the fact that the line blender got thrown in early. I think that it was key in helping throw the Oilers off of the matchups. And I think that they...
I do believe it is now last call for alcohol at the Shark Tank.
Yep.
Apparently it is.
Yep.
This coming in from Jumbo, he says the crowd is always great every time we play here in the playoffs. The atmosphere was just incredible.
Yeah, it was insane tonight.
When did the chanting start? Because we heard "We want 7," we heard "We want 8" over the TV, but did it start before then?
It started with "We want 7."
It started when Talbot. It started after 5, and they pulled Talbot, and they started chanting Talbot. The entire building started chanting Talbot.
I was a little I'm sorry, go ahead, Rock.
And then the new goalie, whatever his name is, Steve, Bob, Shane, one of them.
Bressois.
Okay. What's his first name? Carl?
I don't
know. Carl Bressois.
It's
right,
it's Larry. It's Larry.
Larry Carl. it's a hyphenated, he's French. So Larry Carl, he let that 6th one in, and as soon as he let number 6 in, then everybody started chanting, "We want 7." So it started with the 5th goal and when Talbot got pulled, or just before Talbot got pulled, and they started chanting his name. So
I was actually surprised that they didn't pull Talbot early. I mean, it did feel like it was going off the rails somewhat early.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like our show sometimes.
Hey now.
Hey.
Hey, and speaking of which, please subscribe down below or to the side. We do this after we do this after every game. Oh my God.
And we promise, we're always this not prepared.
Always. We're never prepared, and we do it live.
We do it live.
Fuck it!
We're doing it live!
We don't write anything, we just do it live.
Oh,
and this
Lord.
Thing doesn't suck.
No.
But yes, again, please subscribe down below or to the side for more Sharks and Barracuda news. Visit tealtownusa.com and follow all our social media channels. Let me just say, this one right here, you should follow. She does our Instagram, and my goodness, she's got some epic pictures. If you haven't uploaded them already
there's
going to be a boatload coming up tonight that are going to be unreal.
They might be in a couple days. I need to edit them. There's a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, we're starting a GoFundMe so Rocky can get a tablet so she can do live editing.
Indeed.
There we go.
Yeah, I need a bigger screen.
Yeah. I do have to say the photo of the Carlson shot you have on the glass is magnetic. It's awesome.
Awesome.
With where he hit the puck and the outline of it? Yeah, I know. I don't know why he did. There's a whole bunch of shots. Warm-ups, he came over and he, during warm-ups, like I was taking pictures and he just shot the puck right at my camera. And then he started doing a lot of balancing tricks with his stick. Like, he picked the puck up and he flipped it around on the end of his stick. And then he held it on his side on the end of his stick and kind of balanced it back and forth without letting it roll off. Like, he just did that for like 2 minutes. It was bizarre. I have no idea why he was doing it, but he did. And I got lots of good pictures of it. So yes. Thanks, Carl.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Any final thoughts with you guys before we let you go? Because, I mean, it's last call.
Last call. I mean, unreal. It was a great experience. You know, you can only hope that they replicate this sometime. But shoot, Rocket. I mean, that was... Wow.
It doesn't get much better for in-game experience than it was tonight. Yeah, great absolutely. Seats, great game. It was a great time. Good job, Sharks.
Absolutely. We'll see you. We'll see you Saturday for Game 6.
Yes.
No. We'll see you Thursday at the IBU Tap Room.
The watch party. I will be there.
Yep. Papa Landy's going to be driving the ship on Thursday.
And you want to talk about? I hear that. Oh boy, I heard some words that Rocket might be bringing some surprise noisemakers on Thursday night. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how fast we get thrown out of the IBU tap room.
hey, guess what? The noisemakers I'm bringing are not metal at all. So they are 100% sneakable. Don't say I said that.
Nice.
So if you get thrown at SAP with one of them, you didn't get it from me. Just saying.
Sweet. Oh my God, that's hysterical.
I try.
Well, thank you guys for checking in, man.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Take it easy, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my Lord. So that was the one and only Puck Guy and Rocket, or I guess that would be the two and only. So, I mean, to break this one down, let's just go through it real fast. I mean, the Sharks opened this up with the fastest playoff goal in franchise history from the captain. I mean, just, it was amazing. And another one of those times where you just laugh at everybody who was, like, still stuck in lines to get a beer or in the can or some reason. Right. And it's just kind of like... Oh, really? The line blender moving early. At one point, we saw Hurdle with Donskoy and Meyer. You saw Couture with Pavs and Hansen. At one point, you saw the all caps line out there. And then, Landy, I'm not sure if you've heard about this. The Sharks scored on the power play tonight.
Yeah, somebody remembered how to power play.
Dude, I mean, 4 for 8 tonight. It was insane. Look, I'm not trying to pile on by any stretch of the imagination. The refs did actually miss a couple calls despite giving the Sharks 8 chances tonight, but there was a high stick to Couture tonight.
Right, that was the most egregious one to me, right? I mean, especially because he's just going out there with just basically a string holding his jaw together.
Yeah, it's like nothing but adrenaline and a string. And there was another time that he actually also kind of took what I thought, I mean, marginal, kind of a high hit, possibly elbow, but you're going to let that one go. And then the thing, boy, the Edmonton tonight for me just really kind of, unleashed their inner douchebaggery. Like, I had no problems with the way this game had gone the way the series had gone the first three games. Yeah. I thought,
It was pretty clean. Yeah. It was a hard physical series.
And it went both ways.
It went both ways.
Tonight was just, oh my God. I mean,
and second, not from the people that you think.
No. I mean, Draisaitl. I mean, in the second period, the Sharks are just swarming. They score 3 in 11 minutes. They chase Talbot out of the net. And then Draisaitl gets a 5-minute major and a misconduct for spearing Tierney in the. Or Tierney in the.
In the teeny.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, just a total, total douche move. At one point, McDavid kind of douche it up a little bit. I'm so waiting for somebody to drop that guy because it's going to change his game a little bit. But somebody, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to catch him first. But at some point, I'm not saying it's going to be the Sharks in this series or if it's going to be in another, whenever it happens next season. At some point, McDavid's going to get caught with the hit. We've seen it happen. You know, we've seen Boyle's game change after a big hit. We've seen Brad Stewart's game change after a big hit. And at some point, McDavid is going to get hit bigly.
Yeah, I mean, all we need is really a Scott Stevens type, you know, who would just, you know, like hit a Jari Kurri or something or, you know, whatever. But, yeah.
And I think Draisaitl is only going to get a fine for this, even though, I mean, Marchand got two games in the regular season. Crosby gets none, of course, because he's Crosby. I just, you know, I think Draisaitl, there's a hearing. And, you know, he pays whatever the maximum fine is, and that's it. And he plays in the next game. And, okay, so I'm wearing teal-tinted glasses, fine. But to me, it's like, you know, if you want to get this, if you want to work on getting this out of the game, you know, fining this guy $2,500 or whatever it ends up being, that's not going to get rid of it.
No, you know? Well, I mean, I,
making honestly, him miss a game will send a much larger message.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you look at that hit and you look at that spear, and he looks at him while he spears him. So he's literally trying to hurt him. The puck is already way farther gone down the boards, and it's literally Draisaitl looking Tierney in the eye and says, "I'm going to hit you in the balls," and he hit him in the balls. Yeah. So to me, I mean, that normally if it's like, oh, you know, it was like it was an accidental on purpose, you know, that's a fine. But when it's clear intent, like you're staring down somebody and say, "I'm going to hurt you," or you're making a move to that basically says, "I want to hurt you," that should be a penalty, and it should be a suspension.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And there was a couple, like I said, that got away. Maroon basically cross-checks Pavelski in the head, neck area, whatever. Should have been a call, wasn't. But at that point, I can understand that the officials were going to score, you know, is like 6-0 at that point. They're going to go, yeah, you really are just going to have to, like, you know, full hack, you know, full on swing the stick at somebody for us to call it something at this point, unfortunately, because, you know, I am one of those guys where it's like, you know, look, if it was a penalty in game one of the season, it should be a penalty game now. But, you know, that doesn't happen. But I don't know what it is about Edmonton that plays the Sharks dirty in the playoffs, man, because we all saw Torres and Mahalik 10 years ago. And, you know, hey, hopefully they tied it up, kids. We were all, you know, prognosticating doom two nights ago, and I'm one of them. I picked the Oilers to win this series, unfortunately. And I even pinned a tweet that says, if the Sharks win this and the Maple Leafs beat the Caps, I'm going to be up here full throat singing to you, serenading you with O Canada, and I hope it happens. I hope to sing. I got the throat spray at the ready. So we'll see what happens. It's best of three now, kids. And so what do you well, I guess we should kind of just get into the points tonight before we start talking about game five.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of bookend our conversation on just the discipline and the penalties, Lucic and Cassian, I mean, have been played very clean games. You know, and that's crazy. It's literally the errant stick fouls, and it's those just blowing up kind of penalties where it's the skill guys are just getting frustrated from Edmonton. And you know what? Everybody was saying, you know, hey, look, the Sharks' power play sucks. It really does. But eventually they're going to figure it out. I mean, they just have
everybody was saying it because it was true.
Right. Right. So at this point, you know, are we now kind of seeing the Sharks offense evolve a little bit, or maybe get some confidence at least? I hope so. I hope they bring that kind of confidence into the next game, but let's kind of break it down and kind of go over each goal. So you want to start off, AJ?
Well, I just to tag onto what you were saying is, yes, I hope this brings some confidence to the group and that that they just realize that, look, man, if we just come out and play the way we know how to play, I mean, 32 shots on goal to 23 shots on goal. They won the circle basically 60-40. You had the Oilers 27 penalty minutes. Now, granted, 15 of those are Draisaitl, but, you know, they took 8 penalties. You only took 4. You can work on that. But, I mean, for the most part, yeah, the blocks were even, essentially. So, I mean, they just play this same game on Thursday, and I think you got a real shot to potentially close this out on Saturday. First goal, I mean, what can you say? 15 seconds in from Pavelski. That was one of those ones that I hope you weren't, like, cracking a beer or getting a bag of chips, kids, because it was quick.
Yeah, yeah. Hope you weren't in the line to, you know, to go use the John. but, you know, it was just a classic Pavelski tip-in. A really great shot by Braun just to get it on. You know, Marlowe ties him up during the face-off, gets it back to Braun. Braun puts it on goal. Pavelski tips it, and he's the master of the tip-in. And, you know, the guys on the NBCSN broadcast, it's Mike Johnson and I don't remember the other guy, but basically they were just kind of going through it and saying, hey, look, from the get-go, the Sharks dictated play. And that really, really broke down Edmonton. And that goal just really set them back. So, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to break their will. And that was what they did.
Yeah. And then second goal, you got Logan Couture scoring on the power play, which I think the building obviously blew up because now they've got a two-goal lead. And, you know, they haven't played at any point in this series with the lead until tonight. And so now you've got a two-goal lead. But I think the building blew up more because it was on the power play.
Right, exactly. I think you really did see that power play finally come to life. You know, I think the last game they were fighting it a bit, and they were really fighting against a really good Cam Talbot. Tonight, I didn't think Cam Talbot looked bad, but there were two goals that were really, really sloppy that he let in, especially the Couture goal. I think he kind of just lost his crease and kind of fell down. The Patrick Marleau goal was a snipe. Sorensen, there was nothing that he could do. It was just a rebound. So, I mean, it was a couple of those that were just looked really bad, though. That Logan Couture one in particular. And look, they finally get their slot play figured out on the power play. They finally funnel the puck back into the slot and get those point blank chances that we weren't seeing in the last 5 months.
Yeah. And if you think about it too, and I'm not saying that I had anything to do with this, so nobody needs to try to like pump the brakes on my ego. That's not what this is. But I did tweet out after the last game talking about, hey, you know, what about parking Burns' fat ass in front of Talbot while shifting Marlowe up to the point or something? And the funny thing is tonight, it seemed like a lot of times on the power play, they had Thornton's fat ass in front of Talbot. I mean, if you look at those power play goals, Thornton was kind of, you know, he was kind of getting in Talbot's ear and just getting his head out of it. And there was at one point, there was a time tonight where Thornton was kind of jostling with Talbot, almost led to another goal. So thank God they finally seem to have switched it up. I don't know if the guys said, you know, Steve Spott be damned, we're going to do something different no matter what he says. But look.
Well, they and they also deployed. They also deployed Patty on the in the blue line position, in the set blue line position.
So. Wait, and that's one of the things that I had pointed out. And Sleepy yeah. Mofo, fuck you. Fuck you.
But we did, hey, me and you both said that the Sharks were going to win game four. I said the offense was going to explode. You said they might win 3-1 on a power play goal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I said, what did I say? I said game 3-1. Yeah, 3-1, and the winner would be a power play goal, and the and then there would be an empty netter, and I was not right on any of those goals.
I mean, so we quickly brushed on the first power play goal. That was really, really good. In the second period, though, the Sharks, I mean, they score 2 minutes into the second period. Patrick Marleau with a vintage Patty snipe in the top right-hand corner. I mean, that thing was going in regardless. I mean, that was just a great goal.
Yeah, that was sheer will.
That was sheer will. Marcus Sorensen then scores 9:46 into the second. Was assisted by Schlemko and Ward, but that was just a really good effort by that entire line. I think that was Tierney. I think Tierney was driving the goal, and then
Yes, and then, but the other thing being, too, on that one, that very easily could have been Sorensen's second of the night, because he had a great look earlier in the period.
He did. And just kind of filtering through the chat, I mean, all the lines were rolling tonight. I don't think that there was one weak line tonight. We talked a little bit about Hurdle driving his own line. It looked really good. Tierney's line looked really, really good. Drew some really great penalties. We also looked at Couture. I mean, Couture just looked vintage Couture. I mean, I think finally he's kind of gotten used to the way he's got to play with his injury. And just the fact that he doesn't have the face mask on for the second game, you know, he really found his game tonight. And he just kept shooting. And you know what? If his timing is off, just shoot it. Just shoot it. Be the trigger man, because he's got a great shot.
Yeah, just get it on net, because, I mean, I forget what it was at the end of the first period, but, like, the Sharks, I think, were, like, out shooting them, like, 12-2 or whatever it was. I can't remember. But it was just, like, the Sharks just came out in that first period, and it was they just imposed their will on the Oilers, and the Oilers could not come back. And you saw it. Like, they just disintegrated into frustration and douchebaggery that they couldn't, you know, fight their way out of.
Honestly, it reminded me of Oilers pre-Connor McDavid. I mean, after that third goal, they just look like their will was taken right out of them. They looked like they did not belong on that ice. It was so tilted. And so this is going to be the blueprint against this team is, look, if you guys can come out in the first 10 minutes and bang bodies and, you know, get a goal in that first 10 minutes, you can break the will of this team really easily. Because if Connor McDavid is not driving the work, and Lucic is not doing bonehead plays, and Cassian is not, you know, making his deal with the devil, I mean, this team doesn't really have much besides Dreisaitl and McDavid. I mean, Nugent Hopkins looked he got pushed off the puck so many different times. The commentators were talking about how many drop sticks there were. I mean, it looked like every other shift, an Oiler was just losing his stick, not being tough on the puck. Look, I told everybody they're a year early, and this is why. This is why, because they did not look poised after they got down.
Yeah, but I'm right there with you on that one. I mean, it's... it's a year early, and I also think, too, I mean, you brought up RNH. Also, Eberle was a guy that, you know, a lot of people talked to going into this, and I think if you talked to most people, they would have said an X factor for them on the Edmonton side. Of course, you're going to talk about that Dreisaitl McDavid group, but I don't know a lot of people that were saying Cassian is going to be the key guy for Edmonton. But that's what happens in the playoffs, is you see somebody come out of the woodwork that you haven't heard a whole lot from, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, hero for two games. Can we talk about Jerry Rice opening the door tonight, and that he clearly needs to be the one who opens the door on Saturday night?
hey, you know what? At least they had a player that knows how to finish in the playoffs.
Hey, now. True that.
You know, a Super Bowl MVP, a legend amongst Niners. I mean, heck, he even dragged a Raider team to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But you know what? It was good to see a Bay Area icon open the doors up for the Sharkies. And hey, you know what? The Sharks got a touchdown for him, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I still think it needs to be said too. And it's something that we talked about when we were talking about preview before this series even started. Was one of the keys was the Sharks would obviously have to shut McDavid down and keep him quiet. I mean, hey, I think they're doing a bang-up job so far. What does he have, like, 3 points in this series so far?
Yeah, three points in this series. And you know what was interesting was at the very beginning of the game, it was Logan that was matched up against McDavid. But did you see as it went on, Hurdle was getting matched up against McDavid, and Hurdle was holding his own. And Hurdle was actually even giving McDavid some shoves and stuff, and McDavid... you could see he was getting pretty upset too. He was throwing some slashes. I think he had a high elbow that they didn't call. But still, I mean, it was just really crazy. Somebody was asking if I called Nashville on Chicago. I did, but I picked them in seven. I didn't think that they were going to do this.
Stranger things have happened. We'll see. But with that, I know that post game on NBCSN has just ended. So if you're checking in with us now, thanks for stopping by. As always, please subscribe. We're your only interactive Sharks post game after every game. And we even throw in some Barracuda. And you can expect some post game Barracuda shows as the Barracuda march their way in the playoffs. And I believe that begins Friday.
Yes, Friday.
Yeah, so do us a favor. Check us out. You can follow us on all the social media channels, which you can clearly see right there. Or check us out on the website, TealTownUSA.com. And, hey, there's even we even got shirts that you can pick up there. So go check it out. And I would also be remiss not to remind you all, we do have a Game 5 viewing party going on at the IBU Tap Room and Bottle Shop in Milpitas this Thursday night for Game 5. So come down, check us out. I'll be there. I believe Puck Guy will be there. Chris should be there. Rocket will be there. And we're giving away some goodies and maybe do some fun trivia or something to hand out some prizes. Should be a good time. I mean, hey, it's beer. How is there not a good time? And I even picked up a prize to hand out tonight. So if you're interested in one of those limited edition Chum hockey jerseys, we're going to be hooking one of you people up with that at the IBU Taproom viewing party on Thursday. So come check it out. And as always, do us a favor, wherever it is, I know they move it from time to time, hit that subscribe button for us, please. We'd really appreciate it.
I also kind of wanted to go through some other stuff that we have up on the site. Chris JWS did an interview with David Staples. He's a local writer for Edmonton that was really, really good. It's on the channel. I would really suggest taking a look on that and just kind of getting the Oilers' perspective and an Edmonton perspective. Also, Ian Reid is going to be doing a teal-tinted glasses for the Barracuda and their playoff game. So that will also be pretty awesome as well. So check
Barracuda,
that out.
Barracuda After Dark.
Yeah, Barracuda After Dark. So check that out as well. And yeah, I mean, we've just got the content rolling for the playoffs and just content rolling all sorts of places. So check it all out on TealTownUSA.com.
Do you agree tonight with the three stars that it was Jones and Couture and Pavelski?
Well, Logan played a damn good game, so I would give him first star.
Logan played a great game, two goals, you know, plus two. Pavelski tonight, two goals and assists for 3 points and a plus one. Obviously, Joner gets the shutout. I got to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that Burns did not make it. Three assists tonight and doesn't get on. And assists on two of the first three goals. So I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, no, I was also surprised too on that. I think, you know, Jonesy had a good game and he got the shutout. So is that better than a 3-point night by your prime defenseman? I don't know. You can make the case. You can make the case, but agreed. I think it should have gone to Burnsy.
I kind of would have given it to Burnsy over Jones just because it was 7-0. If it was, you know, 2-0, then yeah. But man, it was like it could have been the five stars of the night tonight. You know what I mean? There was just so many. It was like five Sharks with multi-point games, with a multi-point game tonight.
And
so
Chester Cheever on the chat, give Tierney's coin purse a star.
Oh, man. Oh, don't think he is an icing the boys down tonight.
Yeah. Benjamin Kessel asking, is Sorensen trade bait in the near future? We don't know what the expansion draft is going to be like, so we don't know who's getting taken. If it's a forward, I don't know. That gives another bottom forward slot open. If they take a defenseman, you know what? I mean, Sorensen could be packaged for something, although he's played really well. And this team, I mean, I'm really digging what the European scouts are fishing out of both Sweden and Finland. I mean, they're doing a really, really good job right now. So,
well, Ian pointing out that Sorensen is not eligible for expansion draft.
Well, so right. I was thinking if somebody else got picked up, a bottom six forward from us got picked out of the expansion draft. That's just another slot open for Sorensen to take next year.
Yeah, I mean, Sorensen, I got to admit, has had quite the journey. Because I remember seeing a preseason game with Rocket against Vancouver, and this, you know, last September, and I remember paying specific attention to Sorensen because he had one of the names that was kind of bandied about as someone who was really looking to make a difference and make the team this year. And I mean, after watching the first period, the shifts that he took, I was like, oh, no, he is not going to make it, not like that. So the fact that he's had this whole season to, you know, get his game together and then come up and have an impact on, I mean, at least in game four here, this is, you know, a great job to see. It's just a fun story to watch. You know, good on Sorensen. Hope he plays even better. And, you know, hope he gets two goals for game five. That would be fantastic. The guy that, I mean, if we're just going to pop off the rails for a second and talk about guys not here next season, I mean, really, is there anybody that we want to see gone more than Botker at this point? I mean,
the thing that's going to be really a question for Botker is going to be, how do you get rid of him? I mean, his contract is horrible. I mean, for the output and the production that he put out this year, it is horrible. So you just hope that maybe somehow he can get some more points at the start of next year and get traded. I mean, at this point, I don't think anybody would pick him up. Even if he was put on waivers, I don't think that anybody would trade for him as he is now. I mean, people have seen how Peter DeBoer has put him in a doghouse. His trade value is literally next to nothing. And, you know, it's just a real, real big disappointment.
Yeah, and Chester pointing out, the only way he goes is if we buy him out or eat part of his salary. And I'm not above eating the salary to get him. I mean, that is addition by subtraction. This could easily go down as the worst offseason acquisition that Wilson's ever made. And granted, we all thought, you know, I don't remember.
Colin White was really bad.
White was bad, but
Jim Vandermeer.
No, I'd still put Botker above Vandermeer in worst. But for me, just the expectation, I mean, that contract, Colin White didn't get 4 years, you know?
Right.
It's for what was expected. He was supposed to be that thing that kind of, you know, brought the speed that we were lacking and a little bit more depth scoring touch. And it was supposed to be the key to fixing that second line. And now, you know, what do you got a season later? You've got a guy who's been scratched for two games, and you're still on the hook for another three. You know, you're married to this guy for another 3 years. So that hopefully Wilson is looking for an escape clause somewhere in that, whatever it is. Mike Nebs bringing up Mark Bell. Was Mark Bell an acquisition or part of a trade? I thought he was part of a trade.
I thought he was part of a trade.
Yeah, I thought he was part of a trade as well. So... Chris saying 6 a.m. that goal song was the biggest offseason acquisition disappointment of all time. Oh, go fuck yourself, Chris. Go fuck you. So anyway, back to tonight's game. You couldn't ask for a more balanced effort. I tweeted it out earlier that game two could debatably have been the Sharks' worst postseason game of all time. There was just nothing to be had in that game. You give up two shorthanded goals while you are gifted six power play chances. I mean, statistically, just one of the worst games the Sharks have ever played in the postseason. And then tonight, 7-0. Only the third time in franchise history the Sharks have scored seven goals against the opponent. And they just did everything right tonight. I mean...
Yeah. Just literally did everything right. They are now tied for number one power play in the playoffs. Oh, I mean, it's just funny how sometimes, you know, just
what a difference a night can make.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if it was the head games that they played with the Oilers this morning. For those of you who did not see, the Oilers had to practice in the dark at the very beginning of their practice. The grounds crew mysteriously had the lights off and didn't have the goals out for their practice. I mean, their practice was scheduled for 11:30, and they were out in the ice a little bit early. but everything was ready to go at 11:30. It was just right at 11:30.
You know, hey, fuck us for, you know, like doing shit on like military time, you know?
Right, right. But I think there was a little bit of gamesmanship in that too. But hey,
a scotch.
It's kind of like when the Panthers had to play Pittsburgh in the first round, and they were always talking about how they had to flood the ice so Mario, you know, couldn't skate very well. It just turned it into a slog fest. So, yeah, just kind of crazy. But we got a couple of questions in the chat.
Sure.
One that was brought up by, let's see, it was a question about, now that the series is tied, where does the momentum lie? Does it lie with the Sharks because of this big blowout win? Or does it lie still squarely in Edmonton because they do look like they have the fresher legs? And what do we think for in the immediate future, what do we think for Game 5 with if we think Draisaitl is going to be in or out?
I think Draisaitl, unfortunately, will be in. And like I said, if you want to get rid of cheap shot douchebaggery stuff like that, then you have to dole out a significant punishment, and $2,500 or $5,000 or whatever, a monetary thing. It's not gonna be, because you're gonna have like superstars on the other team going, Draisaitl, don't worry, I got your fee. You know, I'll kick you that money back. You know, as long as you play the next game, because that's what's most important. So yeah, don't fine them a damn thing. Suspend them for a game. That's the thing that you. That's how you're gonna get rid of stupid stuff like that. I've said that. That's not just in hockey. That's like in life. Like when the penalty is so severe that you're afraid to do it, that's when you have an impact.
Right.
So,
right.
Getting back to your question, you know, it's really hard to determine where you would put the momentum at this point. I think Edmonton needs to be a little worried that it's, as you had stated early on the show, that it's like, uh-oh, Sharks learned how to power play. Now, granted, it was one freaking game. Let's not all lose our shit right now. But hopefully that gives the power play some confidence going forward. I think Edmonton could be a little nervous with that. But as you had stated, Edmonton's got the younger legs, but they don't have the experience that the Sharks have had.
No.
You know, the Sharks came, you know, just two games away from the big shiny thing just a year ago. So I think there is something to be said for that. There's something to be said for the fact that the team that we're playing, their coach, you know, coached the Sharks for 7 years. So there's that going on. So there's a lot of different things going on. But honestly, right now, I feel like it's a toss-up. Even though two of the next three games are in Edmonton, it does, after tonight's performance, I'm feeling a bit better, like, because honestly, after game three, I was just like, you know, oh shit, just, I need a bigger drum, this power play is going to be the death of me, and just all the missed opportunities. But I had also said, though, after game three, the Sharks lost on a fluke. We could have very easily been into OT. So, I mean, that game three really could have swung either way. It's that one bad Schlemko clearing attempt, pass attempt, whatever you want to call it. And who knows how that game could have gone in a different way. The Sharks could very easily be up 3-1 right now instead of 2-2. So
definitely.
Yeah, so maybe the Oilers could be nervous about that. But, hey, we'll all see after game five.
Yeah, you know, and I think for me, the big thing with the Oilers is just how many penalties they've taken. I mean, just how...
It's been huge!
Just the sheer volume. And you know what? When you're taking
eight penalties... We're beyond 20 at this point, right?
Yeah, when you're taking 11 penalties, now I think there was a game where they only took like 3 or 4, but still, when you've taken over 20 penalties within 4 games...
Well, it was 6 in game 1, 6 in game 2, 2 in game 3, and then 8 tonight. So we're like at 21.
21, yeah. So, right, 22. 6, yeah, 22 penalties in 4 games. That's I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have the number 1 PK. You cannot continually trot out your PK and expect them to get it done. And I think, honestly, if you do expect them to try and get it done, you're going to wear on those players even more, because we all know that PK minutes are not the same as regular game minutes. So they will wear out during the series. I tend to think that, you know, I do think that this is the awakening of the Sharks. I do think that this is going to be a confidence builder for Logan and Joe specifically. Those two got, you know, Pavs and Logan were both just sitting on goose eggs and were not looking good. But you see Joe kind of get into it a little bit more. You see Marlow just be rejuvenated, going back on the top line. And you know what? I mean, if they can score the first goal in the next game, they'll do a lot for themselves. I'll just put it to you that way.
Absolutely. And with that said, I noticed that we've exceeded the 90 mark at this point. So, of course, got to say it with you one more time, kids. Do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button for us. We're really trying to hit 500 before the end of the series, and we're pretty close. So if you're new here, we welcome you. We welcome your comments in the chat. We welcome your comments on Twitter. Please use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can follow us at TealTownUSA. You can follow myself at AJ_Strong. Of course, at Eric Landy. And earlier on, we had rBackhander76 and at PuckGuy14 on. So do us a favor. Follow us on there. Be a part of the show. We do this after every show. You can follow our social media channels and read about info on TealTownUSA. And hey, you can even snag one of these bad boys and really support the show. We'd appreciate it. So just wanted to get that out there. As Landy was saying, looking forward to Game 5, what are you expecting, man?
To be honest, I think that the Oilers will come out one of two ways. They'll either come out like gamebusters in front of their home crowd because they got embarrassed tonight, and they'll try and avenge that loss for tonight. Or, which I think this is the more likely of the two scenarios, that they're going to clutch the stick even harder. And look, their offense hasn't been gangbusters either. McDavid doesn't have that many points, not as many as you thought he would have going into this series. And if the Sharks can continue their shutdown defensive play and, like I said, get that first goal, we might actually just see this series be a six-game series.
Well, what is McDavid at right now? Is it three points?
Yeah, three points in four games.
3 points in four. And he was the Vegas put his over-under for this series at 7. So he needs to get, just to break even, he needs 4 points in the next three games. And the way the Sharks have been playing him, I don't see that happening. Now, granted, we say that now. McDavid could have a hat trick, God forbid, for game five. I mean, if you predicted that the Sharks are going to win this 7-0, raise your hand. The scary thing is, how long has Rocket been saying she wants a 7-0 game? How long has Rocket been talking about having a game like this? And lo and behold, not only did she get her game, she was at the damn game tonight. So
on the glass, right?
Yeah, so fucking Rocket, man. It's so funny. She basically kind of called this in a roundabout way. That is just awesome.
Well, the interesting thing, too, though, that we saw was, I think it was game one, we thought, okay, well, maybe they finally flipped the switch, right? Maybe the team that was going into the playoffs hobbled. You know, we saw Hurdle just be this beast of a player. We saw, okay, well, maybe they did the LA King act where they kind of coast into the playoffs and then flip the switch. What's interesting, though, is that game one and game four have been both the Sharks' best performances. So I'm wondering if maybe that switch was just a little squeaky and a little loose, and now it really is flipped.
God, I hope so. I really do. And maybe, you know, maybe another thing that happened tonight was, Thornton might have played the first game a little hesitant, and between him getting more confidence, Couture getting more confidence with playing without the cage, not to mention the fact that
this is breaking news, AJ. We have cracked 500 subscribers,
and we thank you, every one of you, for that. That is so cool, because this started out as a little dog and pony show. Well, let's be honest, it's still kind of that, but but this is so cool. Thank you very much for this. This is fun for guys that don't get paid not anything for this. This is kind of cool. I like it.
Yep. And so here's to the next 500.
Yes. And cheers to you.
Yeah, cheers to you. And like we said before, We are going to get that lucky person, the 500 subscriber, something special.
It may in fact be a Chum jersey. You never know.
It could be a Chum jersey, but I think Chris is our analytics guru on the YouTube side, so he'll definitely check out who was the 500 sub.
Either that or Chesto just kept unsubscribing and then subscribing.
cool Leo, I know you're definitely a troll, but the Oilers can't win in five. That's all I gotta say about that.
That'd be a little difficult, but but hey, you know,
more power to it.
Hey, math is hard. I get it. Yeah, I'm good.
Right. so let's break down the stats. I think we kind of didn't go into that very much. Shots on goal. Oilers at 23, Sharks at 32. That's awesome. If the Sharks can keep them down, suppressed in that low 20s, I'm happy with that. How about you, AJ?
Oh, absolutely.
The other thing that kind of comes along with the shots on goal, though, is Jones' five-hole looked very tight tonight.
Yes, and the best part is that he, like, showed it off a little bit and kind of, like, daring them to go for it. And he was like, oh, thought you had it. Sorry.
I think Moose had him tighten up his five-hole just a little bit. And if you guys don't know...
A scotch.
If you guys don't remember who Moose is, that's Johan Hedberg's nickname. Back in the day.
Moose.
Yep. Face-off percentage, it was 41 to 59 in favor of the Sharks. The Sharks go 4 for 8 on the power play tonight. Oilers go 0 for 4. Oilers had 27 penalty minutes. Sharks had 8. The hit chart was skewed in the favor of the Oilers, 34 to 22. But as Mr. Ian Reid always likes to tell us, the team chasing the puck is normally the ones doling out more hits. Blocks were 20 to 19 in favor of the Oilers. And get this, Oilers with 17 giveaways tonight. And that's always been a big drum on mine, is if you can stay below the team that you're playing against in giveaways, you're doing a good job with possession and possession metrics.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and this might not be a popular opinion, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't think the Oilers played a good game tonight. I'm just going to go out.
You're going to stick your neck out on there.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, I don't think the Oilers played very well tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me. Hey, can we just go around the league real quick? Because there were a couple other games tonight.
Yeah, just a quick somebody was asking face-off percentages. Hurdle was 77% tonight. He was one of your highlights. Jumbo had 86% of his face-offs won tonight. And it was interesting because he was taking face-offs on his offhand his weak side. And when you take a face-off on your weak side, that's going to require a lot of pivoting on your knee. So that shows that, you know what, maybe his knee is feeling a little bit better. So that was a good sign to see tonight. Let's go run around the league. AJ, go for it.
So just a couple of the games that were played tonight. The Rangers tie up their series 2-2 with a 2-1 victory over the Canadiens. And thank you, God, for that, because I did, although I took Montreal in that one, I'm rooting for the Rangers. So
I took the Rangers on that one.
Yeah, and I've got a Rangers jersey. I have a Lady Liberty jersey hanging in my closet. I'm a little bit of a closet Rangers fan when we talk about the East Side, but hey, they tied it up and made a series out of it, just like the Sharks did tonight. So good on you, New York. And in former Sharks news, Torrey Mitchell, former Shark, with the only goal for the Canadiens in that one. The other big game, of course, the Blue Jackets, desperately trying to make a series out of this one, beats the Penguins 5-4. I think we're all a little bit, there's a lot of people that thought that that one was just gonna, I'm sure there were a lot of brooms brought to that one.
Yeah.
And the fact that at one point the Blue Jackets, they had a 3-0 lead in this game, and damn, Pittsburgh clawed back. So that's the way that ended. So we'll see if Columbus is able to pull some magic out of their ass. But I gotta tell you, like, again, raise your hand if after this far into the playoffs, that on the Western side you had one game or I should say one series tied, and the other three all at three, like on the brink of elimination. I mean, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, let's quickly break down the rest real quick. Tomorrow, Chicago and Nashville, I mean, the Predators have the chance to sweep Chicago. I don't think Chicago goes quickly into the night. I think that one goes at least six. However, I'm still picking Nashville. I mean, look, Pekka's just got
to wait for you to go out on a limb.
Hey, I did pick Nashville at the very beginning, and I said was going to be a seven gamer. But I think Pekka's going to steal the game, and that's what's going to get them through. I think it probably only goes five, but I'm going to say six for that one. Minnesota, St. Louis. Look, Minnesota just looks toast. They just don't look good. And St. Louis, I mean, right now, Jake Allen is playing on another world. And who the hell replaced the playoff Jake Allen with, regular season Jake Allen with this playoff hero Jake Allen? It's just kind of crazy. And then Anaheim, Calgary. Look, we said that the only way Calgary was going to win this series was going to be through speed and not playing Anaheim's game. But Calgary is playing right into Anaheim's hands. And they're just using their size and just kind of bullying Calgary around. So I don't know, but we're on the only tied series, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Kind of shifting back over, though, we kind of go over to Ottawa versus Boston. Senators up 2-1. That series, though, is pretty evenly matched as well. I seriously think that one's probably going to be a seven gamer. I had Boston coming out, but it's anybody's series. And crazily enough, Toronto is leading against Washington.
Oh, and, my God, who saw that coming?
Yeah, who saw that coming? And if they do lose to the Maple Leafs in the first round, it is official. The Capitals are Sharks East.
Like I said, just for those who don't know, I put it out there, pin the tweet a couple days ago. Come join us if it happens. I'm going to be here singing "O Canada" if the Sharks, you know, beat the Oilers, and if Toronto is able to finish off the Capitals. You will see my smiling face here singing "O Canada," and it will be worth every second of it for me because of those two things happening.
Okay, Rob is quickly, he keeps asking this question, and we have to get to him because he keeps asking, and he's been pretty patient. Do you think Barry Trotz will be on the hot seat if he loses in round one? I definitely say yes, because you only have a limited time with Ovi, and you're wasting prime Ovi years. What do you think?
I don't know. Ovi is just such a, you know, the guy's, I don't know. He's a goof. I don't know that anybody would be, I mean, Tortorella, Scotty Bowman. I mean, I don't know that anybody that could control that guy. He's just going to do what he's going to do. But, I mean, the Capitals, they have a similar, I mean, up until last season, the Sharks, known as making the playoffs and usually making it out soon after, and Washington right now has that same, you know, tag around their neck right now, and until they change it, it's going to remain there. And like I said, I don't know that any coach is going to make a difference, but will they scapegoat Trotz? It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the Capitals had a hell of a season. Did they not win the trophy? Did they win President's Trophy this year?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I thought they had. So
back-to-back trophies.
Yeah, so maybe that gives him either a little bit more leash because he had so much regular season success, or maybe they say, you know, look, back-to-back presidents, and this is how you do it in the playoffs. So who knows? But I think Trotz is probably here one more season.
Yeah, that's what I would say too, is that Trotz gets one more crack at it. I don't know what it is with that team, but it does remind me a lot of the Sharks. You know, some of those years when I think, especially the team that went to the Western Conference Finals against Vancouver, where it was just a stacked team. I mean, that was a stacked team besides the blue line, which was the Achilles heel of that team. And
Who was the big acquisition? Shattenkirk?
Shattenkirk, yeah. Shattenkirk. And, I mean, that team is literally stockpiled. So,
and from what I've heard, Shattenkirk has not made that big of a difference in this offseason. As similar to how much did we talk about at the trade line? Like, oh my God, look at what Minnesota's done. They're in it to win it. And what has that? Hanzel has been like a noose around this team since the playoffs started. I mean, down 3-0 to St. Louis. And we talked about it for the preview. It was, which Jake Allen would we see?
We saw playoff. We're seeing playoff hero Jake Allen, which is a new mask, if you want to, you know, use a pun for him to wear. But quickly, we got a couple other questions. Blackhawks. I mean, what do we think about the Blackhawks being down 3-0?
I'm stunned by that.
To me, it just screams construction. It screams that you cannot have two players eating up $20 million plus of your cap. You know, God love Kane and Taves. I mean, they are awesome players. But when you have two players taking up that much cap, this is the last time I checked, this was a team sport.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But, you know, they got two cups over the last 7 years. So that's,
I mean, it was their payment. You know what? It was their payment to get the cups for Chicago. And now, you know, we just got to see what Stan, you know, can do to reload the team. But
maybe you move one of those pieces. And I mean, I don't know who, maybe you find somebody who needs to get to the salary floor. And so they'll take on a contract, or maybe Chicago, you know, retains 30% or something. But I mean, maybe that's what you have to do to is just, you know, you're going to have to move one of those guys potentially and try to, make it happen. Oh, sorry. What? Three cups.
Three cups.
I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad. Three
and,
cups.
And Bear Barons is saying the Chicago's going to do the reverse sweep. I don't see it. Not with the way that Pecorino has been playing.
Would you care to bet a beverage on this?
Yeah. Morocco, not a chance in hell Taves goes. Yeah, I wouldn't say so either. If anything, it's going to be Kane. I think he's more of the not to say he's a locker room cancer, but there is just so many things that follow that guy. And you know what? I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you know, shame on you. This will be like fool me like four times.
Well, and look at their defense too. I mean, Keith is getting older. They got Campbell, who's older. Hammer's older. I mean, it's, you know, their blue line is starting to age a little bit. And you know, maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe the window is finally starting to close for Chicago a little bit. Who knows? We've seen stranger things happen. Chicago could reverse sweep these guys. We don't know what's going to happen. But, boy, could you imagine the changes that come if Nashville completes the sweep?
If Nashville completes the sweep, no joke, Quenneville, I think, probably gets fired. Because that guy has been fired from that job so many times, and the media is just, you know, if it's not cup, it's bust for them, and then they'll be, you know, they'll be wanting blood, and unfortunately, in this day and age, you can't move Kays and Taves without somebody needing to reach a salary cap floor. I think a lot of people would take them, but they would also want Chicago to retain salary. So basically what I'm trying to get at is not that they're immovable contracts, but it's definitely easier to replace the coach than it is to get rid of superstar players for sure.
See, I don't know. I think Q probably stays, but it wouldn't surprise me if they move a big piece. I mean, and maybe they start to address the blue line, and it's like, okay, Campbell, you're gone, and you know, I mean, the obviously some moves to be made, and you pointed out their cap problem, so I think they make some moves, but I think Q's had too much success with them at this point. You know, it they could look at this very much as kind of a fluke. I mean, it just, you know, guy gets hot at the right time. We've seen it. I think that is the one, though, that has stunned me. Actually, I'm not sure which has stunned me more, the fact that Nashville's up 3-0 or the fact that the Blues are... Actually, I think it's Nashville being up 3-0.
Yeah,
and the one I don't Nashville. Think anybody is shocked at is Anaheim being up 3-0.
Oh, no.
No one's shocked by that.
No, I don't think so either.
Unfortunately, and Calgary came so close to making it 2-1.
Yeah, sorry. They did. It was kind of a heartbreaker. I mean, it could be easily 2-2 right now. Or sorry, it could be 2-1 in favor of Calgary.
Yeah. Definitely some luck. I mean, what was it the other night? Calgary had like a 3-0 lead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't think that there's pretty much else. I think we're saying that I don't know. I think that we're pretty much bookending tonight's action and bookended what's up going on in the other series. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we close up shop tonight?
Well, just with, of course, what I said earlier, do us a favor, if you want to try to win some cool prizes, and just hang out with us and watch the Sharks for Game 5, come down to the IBU Tap Room in Milpitas. We're going to be there, and like I said, giving out some prizes. I got a Stanley Cup Final, or a Sharks Territory Stanley Cup Final sign to hand out. I got this Chum jersey. I got a few other Pavelski bobblehead, a Calder Cup shirt for the Barracuda. I have 2 tickets for a Barracuda playoff game to give out. So, and that's just a few of the things that I'll be bringing down. And I know that a couple of the other guys are going to be bringing down some stuff. Puck Guy might even bring down a Teal Town USA shirt to give away. So do us a favor. If you can make it, come join us. It's the IBU Tap Room in Milpitas. And as always, thanks so much for tuning in. We broke 500 tonight. That is so huge. So we thank you very much for that. And as always, subscribe if you can to our social media channels. Rocket, we got her taking some fantastic photos tonight that she posted to the Instagram page. You can find all our audio on the SoundCloud. Of course,
Landy is 6 followers away from 800.
There you go. So get at Eric Landy with a K. If he hits 600 tonight, he will clean up the laundry behind him.
That would be 800 tonight.
I'm sorry, 800.
And there might be a piece of laundry for the 800th person. I don't know yet. Feeling generous.
Yeah. So follow us at Teal Town USA on Twitter, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And yeah, when you want to hit us up, by all means, at Teal Town USA. I'm at AJ_Strong. He is at Eric Landy. And use that hashtag TealTownUSA. So, I think this is it. Final thoughts, Mr. Landy?
Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Some Eric's got to do it.
I feel that. We will see you Thursday night at IBU Tap Room, kids. Thanks for putting us up over 500 tonight. We salute you. And we will see you all Thursday night.
Yep. Landy be driving it off the cliff.